Welcome to the Infinite Capacity Podcast. I'm your host, Andrea Morton of Think to Thrive Coaching, where I specialize in helping moms in midlife build self-confidence and courage to reach their full potential in wellness, relationships, and career goals. I am here to make you think hard, inspire you, and teach you how to discover and grow your own infinite capacity. Now, let's get started with this week's podcast. Hey everybody, how's it going today? I hope that you are having the most wonderful day, whether you are at home or you are at work or perhaps in your car driving somewhere to get groceries, whatever you're up to today, I just hope that it's going really well. And I also hope that your summer is off to a great start. I'm recording this episode in June, and our kids are now finally on summer break, which is such a joy to be able to spend a little more time with them around the house. And also, it's exciting because we are going to do a little bit of traveling this summer, which is something we haven't been able to do for a while, and it's something we love to do. And I wonder if you're going to be doing any traveling this summer, now that the global pandemic is starting to get a little bit better and people are getting a little bit more freedom to be able to go and stretch their legs in different places that they haven't been for a while. So whatever you're up to right now, whether it's working or working out or staying at home or going somewhere new and interesting, I hope you're having a great day and I'm excited to spend this time with you. And today, I have a topic to share with you that I'm so grateful to be sharing because I know that this has been a real issue for me in the past, and I coach so many women for whom this topic continues to be a real issue, and I've got some really helpful steps that will help anyone who finds themselves in this particular situation. So with no further ado, I am going to get into the heart of our conversation, which is all about comparison and social comparison. So, have you ever watched another mom, maybe at the park or at the library or maybe at her house on a play date? Have you ever watched her patiently doing something pretty great for her child and thought to yourself, ah, I couldn't do that? Or maybe, I wish I was more like her. Well, this used to happen to me a lot with a good friend who I will call Trisha. And I used to tease my friend Trisha that I wished that she would adopt me and my kids when they were little because she was already the kind of mom that I dreamed of being. She was the kind of mom that would bake homemade bread for her young kids to make their sandwiches with, and she would create these really interesting and intricate craft projects for them to do, and sometimes science experiments that she would do with them in the kitchen, or they would work on cooking all day together, or maybe they would create beautiful pieces of art that she would display around the house, and they would dance, and she had everything so well organized, and she even organized other moms too, and she would get whole groups of kids together from the neighborhood to do all kinds of fun things together, and of course, all of the kids loved it. And I loved coming to her house, and my kids loved coming there too, because it was just such a fun place. And the part that I really envied was the way that Trisha felt totally in her element while taking the time to do all of these elaborate projects. She really enjoyed doing this stuff in a way that was so authentic and real for her. It was completely genuine. She wasn't faking it. And I would just watch her in awe, and I would ask her, how do you find the time to do all of this stuff when you've got two kids? And she'd tell me, oh, I just wish I could be with them all day and do projects all the time. I wish I never had to go to work so I could just stay home all the time and do this kind of stuff with them. She just loved it. It really lit her up. But when I imagined taking time to arrange the same kinds of elaborate, fascinating projects for my own kids to do at home, even though I am a certified teacher, it just made me feel tired and drained to think about it. I mean, just thinking about it made me feel tired, not even doing it. And I would imagine, oh, well, if we do the painting thing, the kids are going to get the paint all over the rug and then I'm going to have to clean it. And I don't really feel like cleaning the rug. And maybe we should just go take a walk. So I would watch Trisha and I would think to myself, man, she is a better mom than I am. And that made me feel, as you might imagine, disappointed in myself. Well, Eleanor Roosevelt once said, no one can make you feel inferior without your consent. And Theodore Roosevelt once said that comparison is the thief of joy. And these things make so much sense, and you've probably heard them both before. Yet, as moms, we so often fall into the trap of comparing ourselves to other moms, moms who seem to have it all figured out. So today in the podcast, I would love to talk to you about comparison, how it shows up for other moms, how it affects our self-image and our self-talk, what experts like Brené Brown have to say about how to break loose from the destructive habit of comparing yourself to others, and much more. So let's get started. Comparing is often defined as estimating, measuring, or taking note of similarities and dissimilarities. And that is actually a pretty normal thing for humans of all ages to do. For example, two little kids having lunch together on a playground might compare their sandwiches. One of them might notice that she has peanut butter and jelly. And her friend might discover that she's been packed turkey and cheese for her sandwich. And they might notice the difference in the kinds of bread their moms used or dads used to pack their lunches. They might notice that some of them have the crust cut off and some don't. So they're just comparing, and it's a normal thing to do. And if you're a mom, you've probably heard thousands of conversations between your child and other children that they know or even that are in your own family, like maybe with their siblings, comparing everything from how they did on their math test, to what they think of a certain teacher, to how tall or how short they themselves are, or even how much they like a certain flavor of ice cream. You ever heard kids say, like, I think strawberry's the best, and someone's like, no, 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 chocolate's the best, and someone else says, oh, no, it's vanilla, and they're all comparing their ice cream, and they're all deciding what they like the best. So it seems that humans often learn how to define themselves, what they like and what they don't like, and what they want and what they don't want through a process of comparison. Think about dating, for example. Dating is really a process of comparison. You go out with a lot of different individuals and you decide, hey, do I like how this person talks compared to how that one talked? Do I like the way this person smells to how that person smelled? Do I enjoy the way that this person, you know, opens the car door for me versus the way that that person maybe didn't? So this is a really normal thing that we can do. And one of the reasons why humans do this is that there are ways in which comparisons can be useful and important. For example, if you notice that one of your kids is thriving eating a particular diet, but the other one is not, it may prompt you to check in with the pediatrician to see if you need to modify how you're feeding that kiddo. So that could be a very useful comparison. Or if you notice that one of the four tires on your car is very low on air and dragging on the ground in comparison to the other three tires, you might take it to be refilled or inspect it closely to discover if you have a nail in your tire or maybe some other cause for a slow leak. So I don't know. The idea first recorded by John Lydgate in the year 1440 that comparisons are odious, which means hateful or unhelpful. I don't know. I think maybe that's a little bit untrue. Some comparisons can be very useful, in fact, which is why our human brains have deeply encoded over countless generations the ability to observe and note differences between two things that are in some ways similar. It can be helpful. For example, knowing the difference between an edible plant and a poisonous plant that look very similar to each other, that kind of comparison arguably is very helpful. Now, I want to talk to you next about social comparison theory. Social comparison theory was first developed in the year 1954 by a psychologist who was named Leon Festinger. And Leon Festinger suggested that people have an innate drive to evaluate themselves, often in comparison to others. In other words, it's typical behavior for humans to analyze and define themselves as in relation to other people. So Festinger proposed that we do this in order to create benchmarks by which we can more accurately evaluate ourselves. And according to this theory, we typically try to compare ourselves with other people who are actually fairly similar to us or like us, which means that we often look at our peer group, such as people who are the same age, or maybe people who are in the same profession, or maybe people who have the same sexual preference that we do, people who share the same gender role, people who participate in activities that we like to do, and so forth. When my husband, for example, is cycling, he doesn't compare himself to me. I'm not a cyclist, but he does love to go on Strava to compare himself to other really great cyclists to see who can climb the hill the fastest. So, in her book, The Gifts of Imperfection, Brené Brown writes that comfort is all about conformity and competition. And she goes on to note that the kind of comparisons that usually really intrigue us or get us very upset are the ones that we make with people who are the most similar to us. Brown writes, "We don't compare our houses to the mansions across town. We compare our yards to the yards on our block. And when we compare, we want to be the best or have the best of our group." And then Brené Brown explains that the comparison mandate becomes what she calls a crushing paradox of fit in or stand out. And it's not cultivate your self-acceptance, belonging, and authenticity. It's be like everyone else, but be better. Interesting, right? Have you ever had that thought before? And this explains why moms in midlife so often compare ourselves not to men in midlife or to our own parents and grandparents who have been in midlife in the past. We typically compare ourselves to other midlife moms who are in their midlife momming right now. According to the social comparison theory, there are two kinds of social comparison that we do with other midlife moms or with anybody really. Upward social comparison or downward social comparison. Upward social comparison happens when we consciously or unconsciously compare ourselves with people that we believe are in some way better than we are. For example, my friend Trisha, that I spoke about in the beginning of this episode, who seemed put on this planet to be an incredible hands-on project-oriented mom, she's someone that I would look to with an upward comparison. Upward comparisons often give us the motivation to improve ourselves in some way, to raise our level of expertise or ability. If we admire a mother who we think is very patient or very creative, it may spur us to work on increasing our own levels of patience or creativity. We might look at examples of moms that we really admire to try to follow their example and hopefully get similar results from our efforts to be like them. Now, downward social comparison happens when we do the exact opposite. We compare ourselves to people who are not doing as well as we are, at least we don't think they are. For example, we might look at a mom who arrives even later than we do to drop her kids off at school, or compare ourselves to a mom whose house is always a messy chaos. And we may compare ourselves to this in order to feel better about our own habits or our own abilities. I might not be as great as I want to be, we might tell ourselves, but at least I'm doing better than she is. Humans tend to vary the way we compare ourselves to others depending on whether we want to feel better about ourselves or we want to get motivated to do something maybe that's different or harder. If a mom is having a great day already and she feels like, you know, I really want to commit to cycling on my Peloton every day, well, then she may compare herself to a friend or a mentor or trainer that she knows already exercises regularly. But if that very same mom is having a harder day and feeling kind of bad about herself, she may be more naturally inclined to compare herself to a friend or relative who she knows almost never exercises. So that would be the difference between an upward comparison and a downward comparison. It's important to note that there may be times when humans make comparisons that are not going to be effective to either motivate us or make us feel better. For example, if I'm a new mother and I have my very first baby, it's fairly useless for me to compare myself with a mom who's busy raising teenagers, because the kinds of issues that we're grappling with are so different that a comparison is neither going to make me yearn to be more like her or tell myself that I'm doing something better than she's doing it, because we're just not doing the same thing. It's like comparing apples with broccoli. Social comparisons don't just affect the way that humans look at ourselves. They also make a difference in how we behave toward ourselves and how we behave toward others. As we compare ourselves with other moms, it's important to reflect on our own levels of confidence, motivation, and belief in our own intrinsic worth. All of this self-comparison work just will bring up all your stuff and you'll be able to see all of it. How worthy do I really feel? And it's good for us to stay alert for any negative thoughts or feelings that might cause us to compare ourselves negatively with other moms. An important area to discuss when it comes to mothering and social comparison is social media and social networks. So social networking sites are platforms where it's very common for moms to make social comparisons, which can then produce a lot of different emotions for them, both in terms of upward comparison and downward comparison. According to research that was published in the year 2019, by Associate Professor Teresa M. De Los Santos and Assistant Professors Lauren M. Amaro and Natalia T. Joseph of Pepperdine University, modern mothers use social networking sites for a lot of reasons. They do it to seek out information, to compare themselves with other mothers, to assess their own performance, and to express their emotions. Analysis from this study showed that the most frequent topic of conversation on social media was the role of the mother, including expectations of motherhood. Also, mothers shared horizontal and downward comparison with very little upward comparison, and they expressed more frequent negative emotions than positive emotions through social media. So downward comparison, again, would be like watching somebody else's Facebook profile and then telling yourself, oh, well, at least I'm having a better day than she's having. A study published in 2020 in Europe's Journal of Psychology, led by researchers from the psychology department of the Bursa Uludag University in Turkey, also showed that some moms feel doubt about whether or not they can actually believe the information on other mothers' social media posts. Furthermore, the American Psychological Association notes a study published in the Journal of Adult Development in 2016, where it was found that frequent social comparisons have a dark side. People who say that they make frequent social comparisons are a lot more likely to experience envy, guilt, regret, and defensiveness, and also to lie, blame others, have unmet needs, and be less satisfied with their jobs. That doesn't sound so good. So it's something to keep an eye out for. If you're comparing yourself consistently on social media to other moms, are you experiencing some of these things like envy or guilt or defensiveness? Well, now that we know what social comparison is and some of the downsides or dark sides of social comparison, how can an average mother like you or me benefit from all of this information so that it can actually improve our quality of life, our relationships with other moms or other people, and most importantly, our relationship with ourself or our own body? I've got 5 tips for you today, and all of them are guaranteed to help you move forward in figuring out how to sort of get through any tendency you might discover in yourself for self-comparison, for this kind of social comparison that could be either upward or downward. So, tip number one is to develop your self-awareness. Before we can change a pattern of behavior within ourselves, we need first to become aware of it. It's possible that you may have engaged in social media comparison unconsciously for years now without ever realizing it. So your first task is to try to consciously keep track of what triggers you to compare yourself with other moms, whether it's online or in your day-to-day life with your own friends and family. You can keep track in a lot of ways, like by using a journal or on your phone. Just try to consciously notice and note what you were doing when you found yourself involuntarily comparing yourself to another mom and what you felt like after you did so. Was it an upward comparison where you felt motivated to be more like them? Or did you judge yourself harshly? Was it a downward comparison where you felt a little bit smug and proud of yourself for being better? Well, just keep an eye on it and try to figure out your own triggers. Tip number two is to identify who you want to be as a mom, independent of all the other moms out there. What do you believe in? How do you want to show up for your family or for yourself? And if there were no other moms in the entire world but you, how would you want to live and behave with your kids on a day-to-day basis? And what would you be most proud of? The less you compare yourself with others, and the more you focus on your own intrinsic values and beliefs, the easier it will be for you to recognize when you are living up to your own goals and when you want to do a little more to reach them. Tip number three is, if you're going to compare, compare only to yourself. And of course, we're talking about comparing to your past self as opposed to that idyllic future self that you haven't met yet. So once you've figured out your unique goals as a mom, the most useful kind of comparison for you will simply be between the woman that you were yesterday, the woman that you are today, and then you can look toward the woman who you might like to become tomorrow. It makes no sense at all to focus your time and energy comparing yourself to a totally different woman, a totally different mom with her own unique life path and her own unique qualities and skills and gifts and hardships. It just doesn't make sense. That's a waste of your time, your gifts, and your experience. So apply your energy instead to noticing your own improvement and growth. You keep a notebook, track your own growth over time, chart things out, just like you would if you were trying to lose weight. Note how each day goes day by day. Don't compare yourself to the skinny mom to your left. Compare yourself only to you, and that will be way more helpful. Tip number four is to celebrate your successes, and I mean this big time. Hey, congratulations! If you have accomplished something internal or external that was important to you, I want you to give yourself a huge pat on the back. Recognize your own dedication and your own hard work, and honor yourself for your effort, which will increase your levels of self-esteem and self-confidence. For example, I've been working on swimming this past year, as many of my listeners know, and every week I get just a tiny bit stronger. Am I as strong as the other women swimming in the lanes around me, many of whom have been swimming for decades? Well, the answer to that is a hard no. But I am so much better than I was when I first started swimming last August. That is a yes. So celebrate your own growth and your accomplishments rather than comparing yourself to others. And make sure to really celebrate when you've made even a little bit of progress, because you're awesome and that will keep you focused on making more progress. And tip number five comes back to one of our absolute favorites, which is gratitude. Gratitude is one of the fastest ways to end a bout of discontent that was spurred on by accidentally comparing yourself to the other moms and their situation. Pull your focus back to your own life and your own self by consciously reminding yourself of all the good that there is in your own sphere, in who you are and what you do every single day. Dig deep into the gratitude, bathe in it, and notice all the little things about yourself and throughout your day that you might sometimes take for granted. A gratitude practice is an amazing step on the path to letting go of social comparison and living full of a glow and an illumination with the knowledge of how uniquely wonderful your life not only is, but how great you know you can make it be. So, the next time you find yourself noticing how fantastic another mom is and starting to compare yourself unfavorably with her, I hope that you'll remember these 5 steps and that following them will bring you back to feeling comfortable, contented, and proud of the special and worthy mom that you are without having to look down on any other moms to get there. I may never be the craft-loving mother that my amazing friend Trisha is, but there are hundreds of ways in which I do show up for my family every day and every week. And when I focus on who I want to be and how far I've already come, life and motherhood feel so much better. And that is what I have for you today. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider leaving a review for the Infinite Capacity Podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Do you have any thoughts or personal stories about today's topic? If so, please feel free to reach out to me by email at hello@thinktothrivecoaching.com or follow me on my Instagram, Facebook, or LinkedIn pages to share your ideas. If you like today's podcast, please pass it along to anyone that you think needs to hear it. The best way for this podcast to really help people is to spread it widely. I'm here every second and fourth Tuesday of the month with awesome new episodes. And if you're a mother that wants to create more self-confidence, courage, or wellness in your life, definitely go to thinktothrivecoaching.com to learn how you can work with me, Andrea Morton. That's all for now. Wishing you a great week.